All right, another episode here of Whiskey Throttle Radio. Thank you guys so much for listening. On this show, we have Oklahoma native Chase Marquier. He's number 96 on a Husky racing 250 East this year. So we talked to him about his season so far and his goals moving forward. After that, New Mexico native Casey Brennan, riding number 383 on a KTM 450. We talked to him about making his first main event in Minneapolis and his goals moving forward, traveling country, doing privateer life. Huge shout out to Blood Lubricants. Jeff Green over there has been hooking us up with some great products. I got a sweet beanie the other day. That was awesome. Thank you, Jeff. Also some great oil. He's got high quality degreaser, chain lube, bike cleaner, fork oil, all that great stuff. So make sure to check them out at bloodlubricants.com and use promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all their products. Also, huge shout out to Risk Racing. They got a lot of great innovative motocross products, so make sure to check them out at riskracing.com. As always, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever suits you. And like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. All right, let's get into it. Me right now, he's number 96 racing 250 East, is Chase Marquier. What's up, man?
Oh, not a lot, man. Just back here in Oklahoma. Just kind of finished up the day and kind of winding down. How's it going?
It's going good, man. So hey, we're three rounds in to this 250 East Coast series. How are we feeling about your season so far?
Honestly, I'm pretty happy with how my season went. I had a rough off season. A lot of people don't know. Actually, I got hurt. I had a late start, and then I got hurt at a little arena cross. I'd actually got a pretty good concussion. I ended up taking the whole month of November off and most of December, and then I started riding again. And like my second day back, transmission actually broke on me on a dragon's back, and took a nice little trip to Indonesia and hurt my lower back. And so that was another, you know, like 6 weeks off the bike. So I only rode about a week and a half, 2 weeks before Minneapolis. So I was pretty pumped on it to go to Minneapolis and get her in the main. And, you know, Dallas didn't go as planned, but then this past weekend got in the main for the Triple Crown. So I'm pretty pumped how it's going right now.
Dude, that sounds gnarly. I mean, I could imagine. I don't even know if you have time to react, but just hearing that when you're going up a dragon's back just can't be a good feeling.
Oh, no, not at all. It was a big one, too. So it was high speed, and it's just one of those things. It was freak deal, and just, before you know it, you're on the ground. But, you know, I was, as bad as it was, I got very lucky. So I guess I can't complain too much.
So I guess that explains why you're on the East Coast, because we usually see you riding out West Coast Supercross.
Yeah, I was supposed to do West Coast. I was actually, you know, I signed myself up for Anaheim, and after I did that, I was like, yeah, man, so either miss the first few rounds and then come back in, but, you know, on a 250, the series is already so short, and I might as well just go East Coast, so.
Yeah, and you're pretty central there in Oklahoma too, so probably wasn't too hard. You know, if you're based out in California, the travel would probably be a lot worse, huh?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think we got one more bad one, and that'll be New Jersey. So we got Minneapolis and Detroit out of the way. Those were pretty long drives, but I guess Atlanta's pretty far. But I'm gonna stay down south somewhere. Somewhere between Atlanta and Daytona. That way we're not driving back and forth. And then, but other than that, it ain't too bad, except New Jersey. New Jersey to Vegas, that'll be rough.
Yeah, I don't know if I honestly can't remember this year, but I know in the past couple of years, they've done like New Jersey and then Washougal for the 450 guys, and I couldn't imagine driving that.
Oh, dude, I don't know why they do that. I don't know why they plan it like that. I don't know how the truck drivers do it.
Oh, dude, brutal. And so I was driving to Minneapolis, just super sketchy and all the ice and snow.
Oh, man, that was probably some of the worst roads we've ever seen. We actually, about 100 miles out, driving up on Thursday, they shut the highway down. So we had, it was kind of a disaster. Everyone was, you know, pulling off and trying to find the hotels in this inky dinky town. And, you know, like every hotel was booked. So, you know, we're back roading it, finally found some sketchy motel. And, yeah, it was quite the journey.
Hey, that's life of the privateer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Triple Crown this weekend, in Detroit. You went 18, 19, 18, but how are we feeling? Do we like the Triple Crown format, or we kind of like the regular format better?
I kind of like it. If I get in, I'm pretty pumped. This weekend was, you know, I didn't have the best results, but I was consistent. I was definitely consistent in all three mains. So, yeah, I don't mind them. I wouldn't mind having more of them.
Yeah, I get, you know, on this show, I ask this question a lot to privateer, mainly have privateers on here. And some guys I have aren't like, you know, consistent main event guys, and obviously they don't like them too much. But I guess if you're, you know, like yourself, you consider you a main event guy, Chase, and I guess it wouldn't be too bad, you know, nice change. But let's talk about your program a little bit for this year. I see you're on JMC Husky. How'd you get hooked up with those guys?
Last year I didn't really have anything going to the season, and they reached out to me, and they helped me out last year on the West Coast, and then this year was going to be the same thing, West Coast with those guys, and then like I said, I got hurt, so I bought a bike and stuff from them and get a little help, you know, through their shop, but other than that, I'm pretty much on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm not on a team or anything right now. Full board, right here.
Yeah, I had Austin Root on over the Nationals, and he pretty much said the same thing. Like, he's getting some help from those guys and stuff like that, but it's still a privateer effort for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But good people over there. It's just kind of it's a low budget team. So if you're on the West Coast, I think it'd be pretty good. And, you know, you can be in the semi with them and go to the races with all them. But on the East, you know, it's hard for them to come over here. So,
yeah, definitely. So you're in Oklahoma. Who are you riding with during the week? Because I know there's tons of fast guys out there.
Yeah. We have a really good group right now. It's me, Kennard, Dustin Winter, Richard Jackson. Right now, Benny's hurt, but once he gets going, it'll be Benny, and then I think Austin is coming back from California in a week or two, so when Austin gets back, he'll be with us, and we're just out at Raynard's place. Robbie Raynard's our trainer, so we have two Supercross tracks there, and we just kind of switch between the two, and it's been awesome lately. It's been a little cold. There's been a few days we've had to not been able to ride, but mainly it's been good. It's been a good winter here in Oklahoma.
Yeah. So over summer, I'm from Florida originally. I'm in Charlotte now, but we drove out to Colorado and back. And on the way back, we drove through Oklahoma, and there was a bunch of like construction going on and stuff like that. And I got to tell you, Chase, that dirt looks amazing out there.
Yeah. I probably haven't ridden better dirt than what we have right here. Like it's pretty prime.
Yeah, just, I don't know, something, you know, obviously Florida, it's all sand. So there's that, like, orangish brown dirt. Just, I don't know, it just looked like heaven. I was also...
Yeah, other than it staining everything, it's good.
Yeah, I was also riding rocks for a week in Colorado and up at elevation, so I think anything would look good.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous of that, though. I wanted to go and do, like, some off-road stuff in Colorado. I've always wanted to do that.
Dude, it's gnarly. I'm like scared of heights, so like riding on the edge of cliffs really wasn't for me. But
that's really.
It was definitely a good experience driving all the way out there and stuff. But you know another thing I wanted to ask you, Chase, was I saw on your Instagram you're racing in the Netherlands. What was that all about?
Yeah, actually went over to, I think it was in October. went over there for a race for Vanderveg Kawasaki. It's in Zuidbroek, Netherlands. It's a pretty big little, like, they call it a supercross, but it's over here. It's basically an arena cross. But it was fun. Hopefully I get to go back next year.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. You know, when all, you know, all the American riders go over there during the off season and race. I know, like Austin Root, he's stayed over there, but he's been over there killing it. And even just like the Bercy and all that, I think it's just really cool and really a really good way to change it up. And I'm sure it kind of keeps you fresh on the off season.
Yeah, I've raced in Costa Rica before, but I've never been, you know, to Europe or, you know, that side of the pond. So once I got that opportunity, I was all over it. And I would like to go do all those off-season races next year if I had the chance. I like traveling and, you know, seeing different places. So if I ever got that opportunity thrown my way, I'd be all over it.
Yeah, I definitely think it's cool how, you know, you start riding dirt bikes, and obviously you get to your level chase, and next you know it's taking you all around the world.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's I'm definitely blessed with what I get to do, and I think it's on the way up. It, you know, it keeps people out of trouble as well. So,
how did you get started racing?
My dad used to race back in the day, and he raced. He didn't get to go as far as he wanted to, and he bought my brother a bike. I have an older brother, and I think he kind of told my parents, you know, get me a bike. So they got me a bike when I was 4 and just rode, you know, kind of around the house for like the first year or so. And then I started doing some local state races and then ended up being pretty good at it. So we went to some nationals and just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at your Loretta's results right here. It looks like you had a couple good years there before you going pro.
Yeah, I had a good year. My schoolboy year, had an okay year, my A year. I should have done a little better, but ran into some bad luck. But yeah, it was all good. It was fun.
So who would you say was like your amateur rival?
Man, there was quite a few. Benny Bloss, me and him always, we were on the gate together. We were probably going to battle. Mitchell Harrison, Chase Bell. Man, there's quite a few, you know, a lot of guys that have even, you know, quit now and or went pro and didn't make it. And now they're Alex Fry, guys like that. So,
yeah, I'm looking at results. You raced Henry Miller quite a bit too. And Marshall Welton.
Yeah. I raced Henry, like since we were on 50s, we always talk about it, you know, like, yeah, you remember that one race when we were on 50s or 60s or whatever. So that's kind of cool to still be racing him, you know, every weekend.
Yeah. It's so cool how, you know, like motocross is such a tight knit community. You know, you grow up racing this kid every, you know, amateur national, and then, you know, this weekend you could be lined up right at the gate next to him too. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool deal.
So Chase, what are your goals for the rest of the season? What's where do you want to be when this is over?
Man, I'm just gonna keep working with my trainer. And I want, right now I'm kind of like, when I go into the weekends, I'm a little, I mean, I'll just be honest. I worry about making the main. I want to get to where I can show up that, yeah, I'm going to make the main. Mm-hmm. Like, and then that way I can focus more on my main. If I'm not, you know, too focused on like just getting out of the main, then, you know, I might have to go to an LCQ and it's just, it's a lot smoother at night if you can just get her out of the heat race and then focus on the mains. So, I mean, mainly just, you know, getting into the mains and then start building off that. And I'd like to be, you know, pushing some top 15s, top 10s maybe at the end of the season.
Yeah, just, I feel like just getting it straight to the main and not having to deal with the stress of the LCQ, because even, you know, the past 3 races, they've been pretty wild in the 250 class.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that LCQs are place you do not want to be. Like, I feel like I'm pretty like smart, I'm a pretty smart rider, but I feel like some of these kids aren't afraid just to land on your head. it's pretty wild out there.
Yeah, I feel like in LCQ it's not even like, you could be like you said, the smartest, smoothest rider out there, make no mistakes, but someone might crash in front of you. It's kind of out of your control at that point.
Yeah, it's wild. It's like, there's a few out there, like, they'll be in transfer positions and they'll still just be like running guys off the berm, like potentially taking themselves out or doing it, you know. I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, that Minneapolis one was wild. Like, what an insane way to start off the 250 East. I mean, like, poor Lane Shaw got ran over like 5 times. Joey Crown got launched off the berm. It was gnarly.
Yeah, luckily I got a good start and got out of all the carnage. Everyone was like, dude, that LCQ is gnarly. And I was like, I didn't even know about it until on the way home I watched it. I'm glad I dodged that.
Yeah, definitely. Do you feel like you're a little bit better on the East Coast or West Coast stuff? Obviously, West Coast, not as like ruddy and maybe a little harder pack.
I honestly like the ruts. I think it's a separator. Like Minneapolis was a fairly simple track, but the ruts made it, you know, technical, and you really had to be on your toes. So I kind of think it suits me a little bit more. I grew up on rough and rutted tracks. Yeah. So I would say East. I'm liking it so far.
Gotcha. Did they end up using lime this weekend in Detroit? I know they were talking about it just because it was going to be so soft.
Yeah, they did. I went to Bowers. Bowers is kind of starting like a little, like a riders, not literally a riders union, but just meetings every Saturday morning with a couple of the Feld AMA crews, and any rider can show up just to see what we can do better. Yeah, we talked about it, man. He started mixing it Monday, so
okay,
so it would be mixed in, you know, right, and not
so
a crazy amount.
Are those going good? Feld, you know, the riders getting a good chance to voice their opinion and things like that.
I don't think so.
No.
This weekend, it seemed like the Dirtworks guys, because they were in there too. They were pretty like cooperative, and you know that what they wanted to listen, but it seemed like, hey, my guys, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, it's a bummer.
They care what the riders have to say. So that part kind of sucks. But I think if we can keep doing it and get more riders, maybe we can make some changes for the better.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I like what Tyler's doing too. It seems like a cool deal. Hopefully it gets better. You know, more riders involved, and it can a little more cooperation. So will this be the first year for you for Daytona then?
Actually, last year I went and raced 450 class just kind of for fun. Yeah, it was my first year last year. So this will be first year on 250F there.
Do you like Daytona or not really?
Yeah, it was sweet. It was gnarly. It's gnarly on supercross suspension. That's the main thing. But it was cool. Like, the whole experience was cool, pitting out of the garages, and there were so many fans there. Like, it was probably the most people I've ever seen at a supercross. And yeah, I dig it. It's Florida. I love Florida.
Yeah, I've been going to Daytona for as long as I remember. I usually do Daytona and then one other one. I'm doing Daytona and Nashville this year. So it's definitely way different than anything else, and it's a really cool experience. Like, we camp out in the infield, and it just seems – it's kind of almost got like a little more out, like an outdoor kind of vibe than a supercross vibe to me, at least for the fans.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like the, you know, all the camping there in the middle. Like, this year I'm pretty pumped. We're actually going to take the camper down. The family's going to go, so it'll be cool. I feel like it'll feel like an amateur race, you know, where you pit out for a few days and sit back and kind of relax.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. But hey, before I let you go, who do you want to thank?
Man, everyone right now that's just helping me out. My dad mainly. He's went above and beyond for me. You know, Fly, they're hooking me up every weekend with gear. Alpine Stars, X Brand, Recluse, X-Trig, Dunlop, Merge, Proven, EVS, Sunstar, Guts, Works Connection, and good Lord for keeping me safe.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, good luck for the rest of the season, and I'll see you in Daytona. Make sure to come stop by and say what's up.
Yeah, come by for sure.
All right, buddy. Appreciate
you having me.
Yeah, man, of course. You have a great night.
All right. Yeah, you too.
I want to talk to you guys about oil, and not just any oil. I'm talking about Blood Lubricants. Blood is a manufacturer of advanced technology synthetic lubricants for the racing industry. Jeff Green has been producing high-quality synthetic lubricants since 1983 and is constantly pushing the bar for high-quality oil. Blood sponsors top privateers like Henry Miller and Tyler Bowers and offers sponsorship programs from the amateur level all the way to the pros. Racing is in their blood. Whether you're ripping up the motocross track, hitting the hills on a side-by-side, or cruising back roads on your street bike, Blood Lubricants has you covered with their 100% synthetic oil, specifically engineered for high-performance machines, and their superior anti-wear technology that optimizes wet clutch performance and keeps your engine clean and reduces varnish. Make sure to check out their website, bloodlubricants.com. That's B-L-U-D, lubricants.com, or buyblood.com, B-U-Y-B-L-U-D.com. All products have a 100% guarantee, and be sure to use the promo code WHISKEY to receive the 25% off all products. Again, that's the promo code WHISKEY for 25% off all products. All right, back to the show. On the line with me right now, number 383, 450 KTM, Casey Brennan. What's up, man? How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Just relaxing here in Underground MX, getting ready for Detroit Supercross this weekend.
Yeah, man. Dude, I had to get you on after that Minneapolis ride. I was watching practice, man. You look good all day. So, was that your first main ever?
Yeah, that was actually my first main ever. It was pretty crazy to say the least. I felt good all day in practice, and yeah, just got a good start in the heat and ran some good laps, and then got another good start in the LCQ and just did what I had to do, and you know, it was pretty surreal making that main finally.
Yeah, even like, so a lot of guys, you know, obviously I can't talk. I'm a novice at best, you know, motocross rider, but a lot of guys throughout the day, you can kind of tell who's feeling it, who's not, especially in the LCQ. You know, going for your first main ever, you look super smooth, and it just looked like you were gelling with that track.
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable on tight technical tracks, and that track was it had some technicalities to it, and it wasn't way too fast, and kind of just hit stuff wide open, and you had to kind of be a little bit more precise, and it really fit my style, and I enjoyed it. And yeah, once I made that pass into second in the LCQ, like I was like, I just did it. Like that was it. And the last couple laps, I just enjoyed around the track and was just like, take it in. You finally did it. And yeah, I just felt good all day.
Yeah, definitely. And you had been so stoked making that main. I have to ask though, did you drive there to Minneapolis from San Diego?
Yeah, and I actually weren't going to go just because that issues with the line that weekend before in San Diego and just how far of a drive it was going to be and just kind of the time crunch. But I had a sponsor hit me up last minute. They're like, no, here's gas and here's an entry fee. You're going. So from not even being sure if I was going to go or not to going and making my first main, it was, I guess you could say, picture perfect.
How sketchy was that drive?
It wasn't too bad until about the last 100 miles into Minneapolis, but I wasn't driving. My buddy was driving his rig. So, I didn't have to deal with any of the sketchy spots, but yeah, it was, the road conditions were definitely not choice.
Yeah. I think it was like Bubba Pauly and Josh Greco were posting on their Instagram stories, and it was all ice and snow. It looked awful. I just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Florida, and we had a snowstorm come through here in December, and it was sketchy driving in that, so I couldn't even imagine.
Oh yeah, it was pretty rough, and it was just the cold itself too sucked all weekend. Going from being in Cali, you know, where it's I mean, it's nice and sunny for the most part and warm, to go into, I think with the wind chill and everything, it was -22 yeah, the night before the races. That was not fun.
No, that just sounds awful, terrible. I actually rode today at my office, and it was like 40, and it was like almost unbearable, so I could not imagine. So Dallas this weekend, kind of off day for you. How did the day go for you?
I mean, it didn't start off too good. My first practice, I just wasn't gelling with the track very well. Was kind of struggling with the ready conditions and made some changes to the bike to help, but just never really found my flow around the track and just kind of rode tight all day. You know, normally I ride a lot better whenever I start up front in practice, but I just, for whatever reason, just didn't really have the confidence to go start up front this weekend and put in my own laps and everything. So I was just kind of in a position where I was just, I wouldn't say making it through the day, but I was just doing what I had to do. And yeah, I was just really uncomfortable. And once I made it through practice, it was just awful all day. I just kind of reset before the night show, and I put in a decent ride on my heat race, kind of faded back towards the end. But LCQ had a decent ride coming from like 16th to 8th. That's kind of like, once the night show started, that's when I started to get more comfortable. But yeah, it was just a hard day for me, especially after coming off that high from Minneapolis. So, but you know, it is what it is. You got to have the good days and the bad days.
Yeah. Honestly, it seemed like it was a, you know, like an off day for a couple of guys. You know, like I know Van Martin qualified 41st. He's usually always in that fast 40. Tyler Entekgnat didn't even make the fast 40. And the track, it seemed, you know, Dallas, whenever I think about Dallas, I think of like super hard packed slick dirt, but it did not seem that at all.
No, not at all. It was really, really soft. And I think they're saying they changed the dirt. I think last year was a little different too, but they got different dirt for the stadium, so it's not as packed as it used to be. But even compared to like last year, I thought it was really soft. And I don't know if that has anything to do with like the ban on lime after the San Diego incident, but yeah, it was super soft. And it was weird too, because on track walk, the track seemed a lot drier than it has in years past. But I think that's just because they couldn't use the lime. So it was dry on top, but underneath it was like pretty wet and soft. So it just kind of kept coming up throughout the day. And the track crew did a good job, I think, after the first couple practices, trying to make sure the track was safe for everyone, and putting in a little extra work for the qualifying session. So yeah, it was just a different kind of dirt this year.
Yeah. I'm curious about how Detroit will be with the no line, because I think it's snowing up there all week and it's been so cold up there. It's probably gonna be really soft as well.
Yeah. So I'm not entirely sure if you've heard, but Tyler Bowers is trying to start this like rider co-op group. And we've been having meetings Saturday morning before track walk. I missed this last weekend just cause I was busy trying out my dad with some stuff. And I would talk with Tyler the day before and mentioned bringing up the use of lime in Detroit, just because of that issue with, you know, the snow on the dirt and it freezing and then thawing out after they're building it and it just being a mess. So I wasn't there for the meeting, but from what I heard, they discussed using lime this weekend, and I'm hoping they do. You know, they've been doing it right for 20 years and they just had one mishap in San Diego. But realistically, for some of the conditions that the dirt's, or some of like the outside conditions the dirt faces, it's needed for a safe racetrack. So hopefully they make the right decision to use it this weekend.
Yeah. Speaking about San Diego, I was cruising through your social media before we started this, and I saw that picture from San Diego. You were just drenched in mud and water. Did you get burned pretty good?
So I actually didn't experience like the severity of burns that like any of the other riders did, which is really surprising. You know, the redheads are kind of known for having a pretty sensitive skin. But what I think saved me was I was wearing, honestly, I didn't know if I was going to make the night show with like the conditions, cause I've never ridden a mud like that. So I wore my military appreciation set of gear in practice, and made it through practice into qualifying, which I was, I shouldn't say surprised, but I was just kind of like relieved. Cause like I said, I mean, we don't normally practice in muddy conditions like that. I didn't know what to expect when we got out there. So, I power washed that set of gear off and put a second set underneath for the night show. So I was dry and not so cold.
Okay.
So I think that's what ended up saving my skin for the most part compared to other riders, was that I was layered up a little bit. So, yeah, I feel like I was a lot more fortunate than others, so can't complain about that.
Yeah, that's you know, that's good to hear about not getting burned, because like I saw Van Martin's post and, you know, Roxon's post, it looked terrible, and I couldn't imagine. I know a lot of riders didn't even ride during the week, but I couldn't imagine even trying to ride.
Oh yeah, I mean, there was tons of posts, and yeah, I felt bad for all the riders, and like I said, I got out of there pretty lucky, and then also being on a on a KTM, my frame or anything wasn't destroyed near to the extent of other riders. I mean, I still had to frame out my bike that week and go through and clean everything and, you know, put it all back together. But yeah, when it comes to burns and damage to the bike, you know, I feel like I was a lot more fortunate than others, so can't complain.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously it's tough on everyone, but, you know, privateer like yourself that's driving each round, it's got to be rough with, you know, the lime tearing up your body and bike. But let's take it back a ways here, Casey. How did you first get into motocross?
So my brothers and my dad always rode, and so my dad was just kind of like a trail guy and just enjoyed riding on the weekends, and my brothers started taking a little bit more competitively, and they're quite a bit older than me, like my oldest brother and I. There's 10 years between us, so I never really got to race or ride with them, but I started going to the track, riding my bicycle around, and by the time they were done, my parents could afford to get me a bike, and I was 8 years old when I got my first bike, 65. I never raced 50s or anything, and yeah, just took off from there. The competitive side of me being the little brother, I think, really drove me to get to where I'm at today.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that little brother thing, because I have a little brother, and he's probably one of the most competitive people I know, and I think that's what it is as well. But how was amateur career? Did you do Loretta's and all that stuff?
Yeah, honestly, my amateur career was never really spectacular. I mean, I had some decent rides here and there, but yeah, I did Loretta's. I raced Loretta's in 2012, 2014, and 2015. My first year was actually in the C-Class, and then in 2014, I made it in B-Mod and two-stroke, and I actually got a moto medal in the two-stroke class. I was really pumped on that. I was hoping to win the title, but just didn't put it together. And then in 2015, I raced the 250A and 450A and had an awful week. And yeah, that was my Loretta's career. It was not the results that, you know, a lot of people would think that would get someone to be racing Supercross. So
it's funny though, Casey, like since I started this podcast in like probably May or June, and when I talk to these guys, some guys have like the best Loretta's results ever, and you know, they're struggling to make night shows. And then I talked to some guys who like went to Loretta's once and got like 38th, and you know, they're making mains. So it's cool how people develop at different stages, you know?
Yeah. And for me, after Loretta's in 15, I thought I was done. I went to college and I was like, man, this sucks. I should go back to racing dirt bikes. And that was when the road to Supercross was starting with the AMSROYAL series.
Okay.
And, I went and raced those, not really expecting much, and just kind of went in and did pretty well. And kind of that's when I learned I had a knack for this indoor stuff compared to outdoors. And I mean, even to this day, I feel like I'm a lot better indoor rider than outdoors. I'll still race some outdoors every now and again, but I mean, my results outdoors compared to indoors, it's night and day. So I think it's just situational. You know, a lot of kids grow up training for Loretta's and outdoor national or for outdoor races, and then you know, you switch to Supercross and you pretty much start over, and yeah, some kids just take to it a little bit better than others.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So who were like some of your amateur rivals out there in New Mexico? Who did you kind of grow up racing with?
In New Mexico, I'm about the only one in my age group that I raced with. The people that were taking it a little bit or taking it serious on like the same level that I was, were a little bit older than me, and then also a little bit younger. So I've kind of been in like a little spot where I've been, you know, the only one in my age group really taking it serious. On the amateur level though, it's hard to say. I mean, the guys that I kind of grew up racing with, and I wouldn't say I was on their level as an amateur or anything, but were like, I guess you'd say like Mark Wirth or, I mean, Ryan Surratt was about my age, and I'm blanking a lot of names, but Bradley Taft, and you know, there's a lot of guys that were pretty quick, and I was on the pace, and you know, a lot of things change whenever we turn pro. So, yeah.
So were you a big Ivan Tedesco fan growing up, being from Albuquerque?
You know, I really never started watching racing until I was probably a little bit older, so I never really got to watch him race. But I worked with Ivan a little bit, not much. I've worked with his brother Gio too, and then also you got Keith and Kevin and Isaiah Johnson from Albuquerque, and Justin Bucklew. I worked with Justin Bucklew too, and there was a handful of guys, you know, the generation before me, that, you know, a lot of fast guys coming from Albuquerque, but that kind of dropped off.
How far is Anderson? You know, I totally blanked. He was from New Mexico as well. How far was he from you?
Yeah, he's about, I'd say 20, 30 minutes. He's okay. Edgewood, which is just right on the other side of the mountain. But yeah, you know, he's holding it down pretty well for New Mexico. Yeah, he's a couple years older than me.
I gotcha. Well, let's talk about your 2019 program. You're out there on a KTM 450. I just picked up a 350, so I'm on the Orange Brigade. But why KTM?
So for the last couple of years, obviously, whenever when I first turned pro, my parents weren't able to help me out financially anymore or anything. So they were like, "All right, here's two bikes, and you know, do what you can." And I was on Yamahas, and that's what I've been on for, you know, 2016, 17, and 18. And yeah, my race bike was like a 15 that I was racing in like 2018, and I was having problems with it, and it was just time to switch it up. And I actually thought I was done racing after last year, but I was working up in Colorado, and a buddy of mine forced me to go into a shop and ask for some help for putting something together for 2019. And you know, under the peer pressure, I did, and they liked what I had to say, and they were helping me out with some bikes, and I'm stoked. I actually had the option between Kawasaki and KTM, and ended up going with the KTM because where I train, the family that owns that farm, their kids ride KTM, and I'd always hop on their bikes and race or ride outdoors at their track and have some fun. And I love the way KTMs feel, and yeah, it's pretty surreal to go from, you know, not thinking I was going to be racing to having the bikes that I wanted with the suspension that I wanted, and just everything coming together as well as it did.
Yeah, and you mentioned Underground MX. That's Texas, right? Is that Kyle Regal's old place, or is it his place now?
Yeah, that's actually where we're at. In the series went east, it's about an hour from Dallas. We figured we'd come here. Randy Poulter built the SX track here, and Randy builds really good tracks, and it's a fun track and good place to train. They got a gym for us to do some work after riding, and hookups for the RV and everything. And yeah, I'm enjoying it out here.
And you Matt, we talked about it a little bit, but you're driving in the rounds with a buddy. Is he another racer or just a friend helping you out?
Yeah, no, he's another racer. He's getting his points this year. Yeah, it's his classy motorhome and his trailer, and we're just on the road making it happen, and hopefully you know, put something together again next year, and he can be racing 250s and I'll be racing 450s. So yeah, it's been good so far this year.
That's awesome, man. Sounds like you got a good program, and I like the KTM, man. I'm a big KTM guy, so I definitely approve. But so what are some goals you know, moving forward for the rest of it, to, you know, we're not even halfway yet, but to finish out the season?
Honestly, just kind of keep building. That heat race in Minneapolis, I started, I think it was in eighth, and I was behind Sabachi and had like Cole Seely and Bowers and some other guys like right on me, and just seeing that aggression that they have, and just the speed they carry on their corners, it's just work on kind of building up. I wouldn't say to that level exactly, but just trying to get more aggression out of my riding and keep building and hopefully put it into more mains. You know, just keep improving. It's been good to be in the night shows every weekend, but realistically, the goal is to be in mains. So just got to keep building week in and week out, getting good starts and learning something every weekend. And I think we'll be where I need to be.
Gotcha. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Before I let you go, who do you want to thank?
Well, first, I'd like to thank my mom, my dad, my girlfriend, anyone in my family and her family that supports me being out here. Fun Center Cycles for helping me with bikes, Hustle Hard Industries, Energy Pros, Skills Racing, Rye Helmets. I'm forgetting a lot of people, but I don't have the bike to cheat off right now. But yeah, everyone that helps support the program, whether it's, just morally, financially, or any way, just want to thank everyone. It all makes a difference. And thank you, too, for having me on the show.
Yeah, man, of course. And I'll be at Daytona in Nashville, so I'll definitely swing by and find you and say what's up.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be there as long as I don't do anything stupid and get myself hurt.
Yeah, man, I hope not. And I hope to see you in a lot more mains coming through, and looking forward to watch you ride, man. You have a good night.
Thank you. You too.
All right, see you.
Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be the same. Straight caught up in the game. My life won't be.
Living the life, that's how I live. Try to get out, tell me how to survive without my crew. Armani's, Ferraris, casinos, hitting jackpots. Good luck, I think not, we own the car from block to block. City to city, all day, every day. It's like a celebration for the criminal nation. Himido, wife and kids, that's what I need. Wanna go out like a man, try to understand without blood on my hands. Dear God, please save my soul. I put the rest on hold, not seven. I still got time to reach heaven. 8 million reasons to get out, choose one. There's only one, to put the 9 millimeter to your dome, then you're gone. Did I do right or wrong? Tell me. I might drop some tears from my eye, but you never see me cry. Champagne, spit rhymes like crazy insane. LA to Stocktown, different players caught up in the same game.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Straight caught up in the game.
I'm confused, will I win, will I lose?
My life won't be the same.
Am I right or am I wrong?